This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. For my brothers and sisters who are married, I'm sure that when you got married, you did so with the expectation of a peaceful and a happy life ahead. And for those who are not yet married, inshallah, I'm sure that that is what you will be looking for when it is time for you to get married. My brothers and sisters, no one gets married and starts a family seeking stress and conflict and pain. Nobody is even thinking about that on the day when their nikah is done and when they are getting married. Or even in the lead up to marriage. No one says, I'm going to get married so that I can have stress in my life. Let me get married so that I can have some pain and suffering in my life. Huh? Nobody does it with that intention. Doesn't even think about it at that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that one of the main objectives of marriage is to obtain peace and tranquility. Sukoon. And the Arabic word for home also is linked to peace and tranquility. Maskan, or the second, right, from sukoon and sakina, a place of peace and tranquility. So the entire objective, right, or the idea behind having a home that is alive with family, husband and wife, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with children, you know, with their children, the whole idea there is that this environment is meant to be an environment of peace and tranquility. One that gives those qualities to the inhabitants of the home and the members of the family. But sadly, my brothers and sisters, in many cases, the home is not that anymore. And marriages, in many cases, are no longer a source of peace and tranquility. That's not how it started off. When the home was being settled, when the family was being made, that was not the plan, that was not the intention that there should be a family or a home without peace and tranquility, but it ends up being that, unfortunately. And instead, we find that there is tension, there are conflicts, there are threats, and in some cases there's also violence. Now, of course, there may be a number of root causes, depending on the situation. So perhaps one of the parties is acting unreasonably. That's possible. Maybe there is a clash of personalities, or maybe there's a clash of values, differences of opinion. Maybe there are some anger management issues. Right? A person, one of the parties, or worse, even both of them, are unable to control their anger and channel their anger constructively and positively. Perhaps there are external stressors or external triggers that are causing stress. Maybe there are financial issues due to the loss of a job, as an example, employment, right? Or perhaps other issues. Sometimes you find that there are mental health issues which developed over time, or maybe they were not apparent at the time of marriage, or they were not divulged. And it comes up in the course of life, in the course of the relationship. Sometimes there are children who are misbehaving, either when they're young or even when they're growing older, and there's a clash or a difference on how to deal with that situation or who is responsible for that situation. And there, of course, there could be many, many other factors. We can spend the entire day here if we start going through the different factors that we come across. But my brothers and sisters, what must be clear, though, is that no matter what the circumstances, there are certain boundaries that cannot be crossed, no matter what situation we are in. Whether it's at home or even in the work or anywhere else, there are certain boundaries, a code of conduct that we cannot step outside of as believers. And part of that code and part of that boundary is that violence is never an option. Violence is never an option because it is never going to help make the situation better. If you want to try to make the situation better, violence is not going to be the solution. It's not going to be the answer. And if you're not trying to make the situation better, then even then, violence is not an option because it is going to cause harm and it is going to cause further problems for the one who is at the receiving end, but also for the one who is causing it as well. Now, this is not necessarily, you know, a new problem. These are not new issues that I have mentioned. Although we may be seeing a greater occurrence of such challenges and such issues now. Now, this is a challenge also, my brothers and sisters, that does not distinguish between rich and poor, does not distinguish between educated and not educated, or ethnicity and religion. And unfortunately, you know, our communities are no exception either. And in fact, in some shelters, even locally here in Ottawa, there is a disproportionately high number of Muslims, Muslim women and Muslim children, Muslim women, I was going to say girls, but boys and girls, children, who are there with their mothers. And sometimes they're even the majority of the inhabitants at these shelters, right? Which is actually very tragic if you think about it, right? Because, of course, the Muslim population, right, in the region, in the city, is probably around 10% or so, maybe a little bit more. But what we find is at these shelters, sometimes even the majority of inhabitants are actually Muslims, right? We have sisters, mashallah, in our community, you know, from time to time who will get appeals or calls from the shelters that, you know, we need appropriate clothing for the Muslim inhabitants. You know, we need abayas, we need hijabs, we need halal food, and so on and so forth, right? So it's great, alhamdulillah, that our sisters here locally are able, and our community is able to assist. But really, this is a very troubling scenario and a very concerning, situation that there are, first of all, Muslims, our sisters, our children, who are finding themselves at these shelters. And by the way, nobody goes to a shelter because they want to. Nobody goes to a shelter because they want to have fun, or you know, they really feel like going and living in a shelter. It's really not a pleasant place to be in. Right. So if somebody is there, most chances are that they're actually there for a very good reason. There's no question that violence, physical, emotional, psychological pain is being felt every day in many Muslim homes. And in many cases, we don't hear about it. Statistics Canada tells us, general statistics, that women and girls represent, in 2021, women and girls represented two-thirds, so 69% of family violence victims. So in 2021, in Canada, 69% of family violence victims were women and girls. And the rate of family violence was more than two times higher for women and girls than for men and boys. So it's not to say that men and boys cannot be or are not victims of family violence. They are also. But the proportion of women and girls is higher than that of men and boys. On any given day in Canada, more than 3,000 women, along with their children, 2,500 children approximately, are living in an emergency shelter to escape family violence. My brothers and sisters, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put many responsibilities, you know, on adults in a family. The children are innocent, right? But the adults in the family have responsibilities upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put responsibilities on men, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put responsibilities on women also. But we know that there are many responsibilities upon men. And whenever there is more responsibility, which translates into more power, it also means that there is greater accountability as well. And especially for those who are under our care, right? So sometimes people wish, oh, I wish, you know, I was the prime minister. I wish I was, you know, the president of the company, of the country, of whatever. You know, I wonder how it would have been if I had been the king, you know, or queen or whatever, right? But the reality is that whenever you are in that position, or whoever is in that position, it means that they also have a lot more accountability as well for all of those people who are now under their care. So as husbands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put greater responsibility, has given somewhat greater authority, but also has then that means there's also greater accountability as well. So my brothers, especially my brothers, and I say this to myself as well as a reminder, let us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to our dependence. And remember that oppression is going to be darkness on the Day of Judgment. And there will be people, you know, who will lose all of their good deeds, right? All of their salah, all of their siyam, all of their fasting, right? All of their umrahs and hajj, all of their charity, like all their recitation of Quran, like all their afghan, everything good that they have done in terms of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the oppression and the wrong that they committed against others. Right? And then the burden of that is even greater when these victims or the people you have wronged are those who are close to you and those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put under your care. Right? So there is a huge a responsibility here and a huge risk, frankly, that comes with greater authority and greater power, that there is this risk that we could actually end up losing everything that we have done in our lives because we have wronged others. So let this be a reminder, my brothers, for myself and all of us, that we must be extra careful. Like you'd rather err on the side of caution, be more careful than risk having this problem on the Day of Judgment because of some worldly issues. Right? It's a lot better, perhaps a bit harder, but a lot better to take the higher road and exert patience and sabr in this world and make some sacrifices in this world than to risk the akhirah. So that's the first thing. There may be stress, you know, your position as a leader of the family may not be respected. You know, things may not be as you believe is best. But remember that our responsibility is to nurture, to care, to guide, to make the right or the best decisions in a positive manner. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordained for you to be kind and to live with your family in a positive and a healthy way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also said that if there is something that you dislike, and this is actually a beautiful teaching for everyone, right? Whether it's men or women. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed us and said that if you find something that you dislike, there may be much good also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your spouse. So look for that and focus on those. Try to focus on the positives. Right? Every single person is going to have strengths and is going to have weaknesses. So try to focus on that which is good. And perhaps by focusing and encouraging that which is good, you may be able to overcome, or they may be able to overcome, their weaknesses and the areas where they're falling short. Right? And this is actually human psychology, right? So if you want to encourage someone, you want to bring positive development, positive change, encourage that which is good. Right? And once the goodness increases, inshallah, it will come to a point where it's able to overshadow the weaknesses and the struggles that a person may have. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best role model for all of us. We know that. And through his life, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never hit anyone. You know, when he was upset, what did he do? He went away for a bit. It's not like that he did not get upset. And there's even examples of struggles and tensions, you know, between him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the spouses, right? And his wives. We know that. Right? But even in that, there is an example for us. There is a lesson and there is a teaching for us. Right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I urge you, استوصوا بالنساء خيرا, that I urge you to treat women well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا, the believer with the most complete faith is the one who has the best character, the one with the best character. وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم, and the best of you is the one who is best to women. Right? And in the final sermon, of course, when in Khutbatul Wada, the Prophet ﷺ is emphasizing matters of great importance, and there as well, the Prophet ﷺ says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ, fear Allah with regards to women, وَاسْتَوْصُوا بِهِنَّ خَيْرًا, and treat them kindly. So the Prophet ﷺ has given specific instructions, specific guidance on this matter in addressing the men. And even in cases of divorce, right? Almost no one gets, you know, divorced in a situation where they're happy and they're pleased with the situation, right? Of course, it should be amicable as much as possible. But the point is that, you know, that is a time when you would expect, you know, that there is bitterness and there is anger and there is frustration. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even then, وَلَا تُضَارُّهُنَّ, right? Do not hurt them. Do not cause pain and suffering in the course of separation and divorce. So this is the guidance that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given to men. So if someone in your family decides not to follow your guidance that you have given with hikmah and love, then they will face the consequences of that. Right? That's why there's a day of judgment. They will face the consequences of that. So don't get into a situation where you go overboard or do something that causes you to suffer the consequences as well. Right? So just know our limit of responsibility, our role, and you do your job in a decent, respectable, wise manner, in a loving manner. And then after that, if someone doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to follow, that's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Like, we are not held accountable to getting a complete, you know, obedience and conformance. That's not your job. And it's not just physical, but also verbal psychological abuse is, of course, something which is not acceptable as well. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I haven't raised my hand, I haven't hit anyone, you know, but their words are perhaps even more hurtful or hurt longer than the hurt that could be caused, you know, physically. That's not to say that physical is okay, but the point is that verbal, it can also be as hurtful, even more hurtful than physical pain. But brothers, if I can please ask you to come forward and fill the gaps, please. Jazakumullahu khair. And we can open this door as well, inshallah, so these brothers can be part of the jama'ah, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair. Try, if you're able to sit as you sit in salah, that would be ideal, because that way, you know, we know exactly how much space we have. Jazakumullahu khair. That being said, my brothers and sisters, men are not always responsible, right? We are seeing an increase in family violence, actual physical violence being committed by women as well, right? And this is, of course, also unacceptable, right? The men have an example in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and women have an example in him and in the wives, in his wives as well. And again, I will say the same thing, that violence is never an option, right? Whether it's coming from a male or whether it is coming from a female. Neither is making false claims against one's spouse, you know, regarding abuse or regarding character or anything else, which unfortunately also happens. Right? If I'm going to be realistic and honest with you, those things also happen as well. So for my sisters, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, and deal with your husband kindly and justly. You have rights, and he has rights over you as well. Both have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a one-way street for either party. Right? Both have rights. Both have responsibilities. And for both parties, try to focus on pleasing the other. Try to appreciate the goodness in the other. Try to respect each other, even, you know, if you disagree at times, and have mercy and compassion towards one another. You know, it really amazes me sometimes how, you know, we learn about good character and we try to practice that outside of our home. With colleagues, with neighbors, with friends, we smile, we say, you know, we're kind and we're understanding and we make excuses for people, we do all these good things. But when we walk inside the home, everything is gone. Right? Everything's forgotten. But subhanAllah, those things are even for inside the home as well, right? It's not exclusively for people who are strangers who are outside, but perhaps even more so inside the home and with our close ones, right? So think how you would deal with strangers in good ways, and try to apply that inside the home as well, inshallah. And brothers and sisters, the consequences of not following the guidance of Allah and the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are many. Some we see immediately, others we see over a longer period of time. You know, sometimes children don't want to be home because there is violence between parents, and it's not a pleasant place to be. They don't want to be at home. They want to go away, far away from their parents, right? They want to run away from home. Or perhaps when they grow older, they don't want to marry. Why? Because they have only seen negativity. So what's the point of marriage? If this is what marriage is going to be about, then why should I get married? Right? If, you know, you're trying to encourage your spouse or your children to become more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become more practicing, become more religiously inclined, well, then guess what? It has the opposite effect. right? They start losing their faith, and they start turning away from Islam, and perhaps can even lead to misunderstanding or misrepresentation of Islamic teachings, right? It doesn't help the cause in being abusive and being violent. Right? So violence and abuse and inflicting pain and suffering within the home are not from the teachings of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this must be very clear, my brothers and sisters. And if we diverge from this path and these teachings, then there will be all types of consequences. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen the bonds of relationship. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create love and peace within our homes and to make us among those who follow prophetic guidance in every way, especially when dealing with our wives and with our husbands and our family members. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Take a few moments, inshallah, to offer sunnah prayers, and then we'll continue.